Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 636. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How are you?
Well, we definitely had a whole lot of wrestling to watch. It is pretty easy to ignore SmackDown the week of pay-per-views. Because most of the major plot points are taken care of at that juncture. But hey, we're going to find ourselves starting on Raw because Drew McIntyre... Now, I'm not quite sure. Were the announcers saying that he was the first person to ever defend the Universal Championship successfully in an Elimination Chamber match?
Well, I hope they didn't say that because it's not the Universal Championship.
Oh, the WWE Championship.
I can't believe that's true.
Yeah. Well, I thought that's what they were saying at the end of the match. I was kind of not completely paying attention to them, to be honest.
There's no way that's true.
But anyway, they did make a big deal out of Drew McIntyre's retaining at the Elimination Chamber. And just after that happens, a clearly agitated Bobby Lashley comes out. He destroys Drew McIntyre. The Miz figures, this is my opening. And he definitely, at least temporarily, changes the landscape of the WWE championship. Now, knowing what we know, I guess, after the end of Monday, do you think that this coming Monday we're going to have another title change with Bobby Lashley picking up the strap?
I think that's exactly what should happen. I don't see the value in dragging out the Miz's title reign too long, because then where do you go from there? Like, is it a Miz... Lashley, McIntyre, triple threat match, and then you get, because then you kind of already, you know, satiate people's need for Lashley versus McIntyre, and if there's nothing else on the horizon, that needs to be the one-on-one match for WrestleMania. So I would get Miz out of the way on Monday, maybe find somebody else to challenge Lashley at Fastlane. Keep McIntyre away from him. Let McIntyre finish his feud with Sheamus. And then move on to McIntyre versus Lashley at WrestleMania. That's assuming they've got nothing else. They've got no other cards up their sleeves.
I don't see what card they would really have up their sleeve. I mean, they have really invested a lot in McIntyre. Unfortunately, I kind of feel like I'm like, man, if Bobby Lashley wins it, I really want him to retain at WrestleMania.
Well, he very well might, but yeah, which I wouldn't say unlikely, but still might. But yeah, I think that's another reason why I want the title change to happen on Monday.
Oh.
Because then Lashley is champion for 6 weeks instead of three. I think that matters a lot.
I agree with you. It definitely matters more to have at least something of a run with the championship, even if it is probably the most obvious. Because usually, we're not this far out to have this many opportunities for title changes.
It
definitely has happened around Elimination Chamber, but then they usually run with it after that, so... It's kind of late, even though we have a little more runtime to WrestleMania here.
Yeah. Late is the kind of the story of this build up to WrestleMania. We've made mention of it. They have had nothing built. Usually by Survivor Series, there's seeds being planted, you know, for potential WrestleMania matches. And then, of course, in the Royal Rumble, obviously, there's maybe more than seeds. The plants start to grow, and we see real, you know, major angles take place. to, you know, to set up matches at WrestleMania. None of that happened. They either didn't know or waited until what, when it comes to WrestleMania buildup, is semi-last minute, at least you could say.
Yeah, because...
Getting things in place.
Yeah, they normally have the championship matches. There's usually more of a picture than there is. Like, it does kind of feel like both of the pictures finally solidified at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
But it is kind of a weird year in that, yeah, like, neither... Both of them... Well, yeah, the one didn't get kind of settled until Monday, I guess. Although, yeah, I'm also with you in and of the fact that I hope that they don't drag this thing out with the Miz being champion.
Yeah, no, there's no need to have McIntyre interfere, cause a DQ, announce a triple threat match, have Lashley win that thing, and then still do McIntyre versus Lashley in a one-on-one at WrestleMania. That will... McIntyre and Lashley is arguable. The thing is, they've spent years and years and years and years bringing everyone back they can for WrestleMania. Setting huge expectations, in at least in the star power department, that if we're gonna have a WrestleMania without Brock, without Cena, without Undertaker, etc., it's gonna feel like a letdown. And you know, if Lashley versus McIntyre is your match, then you have to protect. Then it has to be protected, and that means keeping them apart as much as possible.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got to admit, I was a little bit wary with the main event this week of Raw with Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley. I was just sitting there going, are they going to kill all the goodwill that they have built up with Lashley the last? Because Lashley's one of the few guys that you could tell they were at least had something in mind for him. I feel like because his build definitely... Was it at least at the Rumble? Because I'm trying to feel... I feel like something went wrong at the Rumble for him that cost...
I mean, he just didn't win.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's nothing... He's been consistently pushed, consistently protected... For most of the last year, you know, he's lost less than a handful of matches. Certainly less than a handful.
Right.
And you know, he's just been portrayed as a complete badass, and he is right now, as far as Raw is concerned, he's the best option they got.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess that's why I wanted... That's another reason why I kind of, to keep up with your one-on-one theme, like, that's the other reason I want to see it. Like, I know, and we've even talked about it, where we've seen this matchup before, but because they've finally elevated McIntyre to something more than... I'm not even sure if he was... a mid-carder of good status, honestly, before the championship run here, and before his Royal Rumble run last year. And, like, Lashley just really seems to need to take that last step. And, you know, a quick win this coming Monday certainly would help that, because he's just been consistently pushed. One of the few guys, and especially the last month with him ragdolling pretty much all of his opponents for the United States Championship. Like, they've really finally made him look like a badass. And I really loved his promo on Raw this week when he was threatening The Miz. And then, I mean, I got even more of a kick out of the fact that he straightened his lapels and then his tie and calmly walked away from the situation. Like, I just loved everything about it. Like, it just feels like one of those things that Bobby Lashley has kind of been busting his ass for a long time, and he's probably deserved this before now. So, yeah, a win this coming Monday would really help out quite a bit.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I really, really feel like that's definitely the best way to go.
Oh, and I was going to say, like, I just with Braun Strowman showing back up, I also felt like I'm like, man, this is a real chance. Like, the WWE loves this guy. But just because of all of his problems here recently, like, it just didn't feel like he fit in a triple threat match with Lashley and McIntyre, just to put another name in it, you know?
Yeah, the only person who would make sense as an alternate for Drew McIntyre, or as someone you can put in the match as a triple threat, is Brock Lesnar. That's it. So you finally get Lashley and Lesnar in the ring. But I don't. But I'm not feeling that. I'm not really feeling any any special attractions beyond Edge. I guess if you count Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
Right now. I'm just not feeling it. It's still possible, but I'm thinking that we are having that WrestleMania that people have been talking about for ages. That's going to be pretty much just full time roster members.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be his own fault, you know. But for conditioning their audience to think that these part timers are bigger than the WWE and WrestleMania itself, and they're needed all these years and years and years.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I was kind of laughing, not that we really need to talk about it for a long one, but I think it is a theme that we've talked about a lot recently, about how old especially the men's roster is. And I kind of had to laugh when LA Knight showed up, nearly 40-year-old L.A. Knight, and he's a fresh, they're, you know, trying to sell him as a fresh superstar. And, you know, just even Lashley and McIntyre are, you know, really late to this, you know, push.
And Miz brought up 16 years he's been there.
Oh.
16 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one that I'm just like, there are times where I forget how long ago it was that we went to that Atlanta WrestleMania.
It's 10 years this year.
Yeah, that's, I'm just like, oh, it's really been that long, huh?
Yeah, it's been over 10 years between Miz's world title reigns.
Wow, man, that is some weird, wild stuff. That I guess the funny thing about Raw is that I never would have expected that out of The Miz. His staying power has been impressive, but it's also impressive. Like, as much as I love R-Truth, I don't want him to be WWE champion either. You know, like, I like the role that The Miz plays. I understand why they like him. He obviously is very popular with NBC since he, or USA, whatever you want to call it. Since he's now had how many seasons of The Miz and Mrs.? Is this number 4?
I believe so, yes. I mean, once again, Miz went through quite a period where he just had nothing happening. He rejuvenated himself. You know, it's going on 5 years ago now. With when Maurice came back for a little while, and then they gave him sidekicks, and he was pretty much dominated the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah,
and that was a great run for him. I don't know, but we're still a couple years past that. It's like, I like what they did. And you know what? They had him with the briefcase. So many people over the last few years have failed with that damn briefcase. It's to the point of almost becoming pointless. That they need to do something with it, and Raw needed to do something with Raw to get people talking. they absolutely needed to have some sort of buzz going around Raw.
Well, I guess it does kind of set up a little bit more of a fun challenge for the matchup. Like, Lashley challenging McIntyre is kind of weird, but McIntyre trying to regain the championship that, you know, he shouldn't have ever lost is a little bit better of a story.
Yeah.
And even if Bobby Lashley, well, you know, there's no telling, honestly, like, they'll say, you know, they always place the blame on Bobby Lashley for McIntyre losing the match. But honestly, like, after what McIntyre went through in the Elimination Chamber, a fresh Miz really should have been able to beat Drew McIntyre even without Lashley's help, in my opinion. Or is that going a little too far?
That's going a little too far. It's still the Miz, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, okay.
No, you know, this puts more heat on Miz, you know, because, you know what? Miz is likely going to be in a high-profile match. Oh, I'm thinking about, you know, special attractions. Miz is going to be in the special attraction match of WrestleMania, you know, with him and Morrison against Damian Priest and Bad Bunny. Yeah, I mean, it definitely puts, you know, Miz more in focus and higher profile heading into that. Well, I was saying, yeah, that is your celebrity match. That is your special attraction.
Yeah, I think that's why. I think that's another reason why I do think that they're going to have the Miz lose, because they were still planting the Bad Bunny seeds even this week, you know.
Yeah.
So I really find it hard to believe that. Yeah, that they would get rid of that. And especially having Damian Priest be Bad Bunny's 24/7 champion protector. Like, they're pushing that guy to the moon already. Like, he's one of the few guys coming up from NXT that is seeming to have a smooth transition.
Yeah, and you know what? He will certainly owe it, blow it all to Bad Bunny. However, you know, much he really well. When Bad Bunny goes back to his regular life, we'll see what happens. But
right,
they're setting Priest up with a hell of an introduction.
Yeah, and I do feel like they've pretty much carried over the persona from NXT that he was moving forward with, you know, kind of the old school 80s rock and roll guy, you know, just having fun, going out and partying after, you know, like kicking ass and partying afterwards. And Bad Bunny is definitely helping to cultivate that image. And, it's a good one to have, you know. It really seems to fit him. He seems very comfortable in it. Yeah, there's nothing not to like about what's really kind of taken place with that whole setup, honestly. Like, I think you're right. Like, I think this even short championship run for The Miz kind of helps him out a little bit. You know, it helps out. You know, it transitions the title to Lashley without, you know, McIntyre having to take a bad loss. Yeah, everyone kind of comes out smelling well in this situation. And it does kind of, like you said, like this, not that the celebrity match really needs any extra pizzazz, but it does add a little bit of pizzazz that he is, you know, a recent champion.
Yeah, no, it should all work out. Yeah.
Well, we're this deep in, and I think it's maybe finally time to pivot to the SmackDown title picture, which I will say that I had an odd feeling that Bobby Lashley was going to be in the Raw title picture after one Edge speared Roman Reigns after his very short, well, fairly short matchup with, is it Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan.
So, all these little threads for Roman Reigns all come to naught for WrestleMania because Edge chooses the head of the table to take on. I feel like both of us were on the side of this was probably going to happen. What's your reaction now that it's completely solid?
It was most likely going to happen. I'm still not completely sold on it personally. But that's where they're going. I mean, they went hard on it last Friday. I mean, you know, Roman Reigns didn't spear Edge for no reason. it was pretty obvious at that point that they were definitely going to go hard in that direction. Then, you know, Edge spears Roman Reigns, and in a mimic of what Reigns did to Edge on SmackDown, hands behind his back, whispering in his ear. You could make out that he said WrestleMania, which was a nice touch. And, you know, and the match is on. You know, they got Roman Reigns and Edge at WrestleMania. They've got, you know, they've got all this weeks of these weeks of television to really set up and build it and build it up. I don't know if Roman Reigns is going to have a title defense at Fastlane or if they'll do some other kind of deal, like a tag team deal or something, that to keep Roman Reigns away from having a title defense at Fastlane.
Oh,
yeah, but there's plenty of things they can do here. You've got, you know, with Edge, we could see Christian show up. We got, you know, all of the babyfaces on SmackDown who have been feuding with Roman Reigns. Yeah, it's, you know, SmackDown's been very good for the most part for months and months now, so and I don't see that changing.
Oh, yeah. Those guys have still been... they've been telling enough stories with them that they can have any number of matchups between themselves and still be somewhat intriguing. And I guess that is always the other thing about the WrestleMania planning. And again, not to put too much of an emphasis on the time schedule, but it's usually only kind of maybe the celebrity match and the two championship matches that get determined very early on the WrestleMania schedule. The rest of the card has really been filled out from this time period forward most years.
Yeah.
So... all the matchups that I guess we'd normally expect finally do are solid here. And I guess I'm kind of with you. There really isn't that much to say about Reigns and Edge or the, you know, their Elimination Chamber matchup because it, you know, it played out exactly like everyone was expecting, you know. Daniel Bryan gets beat up in the match. Reigns comes out, essentially takes advantage of it, and kind of wins an easy one. And without a lot of... you can't really have too many matches between those guys, and I don't want to see a bunch of... tag team matches or even that many skits with them. Like, it's gonna be a pretty promo heavy feud.
Yeah, it's gonna definitely be very promo heavy. Edge by nature is not going to be wrestling very often. Maybe they'll get one match out of him between now and WrestleMania. You know, and you might as well do it as a tag match with him and Christian against either Roman Reigns and Jey Uso or, you know, God, I want Jimmy Uso back so bad so they can just do that match.
Yeah, I guess I do not know what his situation is, honestly.
It's been almost a year. Because he was pulled from last year's WrestleMania at the last minute.
Yeah. That's right. Wowzers. That's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. for what I remember, it was a knee injury.
Wow. That's a pretty bad one. To still be having problems.
Yeah, definitely is. But I think you could maybe get one tag match out of Edge,
Now
and then, just to get him involved. If unless that's not a part of his contract, he seemed to be a very part time deal. But at least as far as his actual wrestling is concerned. But who knows? Once again, I'm unsure of where SmackDown's going to go between now and Fastlane in that regard. So which makes it interesting.
So that's that championship match. I guess you would say that there's maybe to hop back to Raw, play a little hopscotch here, I guess. The other championship match that I felt like we started getting something of a focus on, would you say that Charlotte Flair and Asuka is going to be a thing that happens at WrestleMania here?
It's very likely. I could certainly see them moving in that direction. Obviously, they had a miscommunication for a reason there. I just dislike running back former WrestleMania, previous WrestleMania matches years later. It just gives off this image that nothing has changed in 3 years. So
that's a fair assessment, you know. I mean, because it just really does not help that Asuka hasn't been hot for 6 months.
No, she has not.
And Charlotte has had this terrible start after coming back. Like, I mean, I saw her come back and I'm like, oh, thank goodness, they're gonna, you know, they're finally gonna get the women's division back in order now that Charlotte Flair's there. And it's just been a disaster. And she's been back for like 6 weeks or something like that.
Yeah. No, it's been a disaster. Her return has been a complete disaster. You know, a lot of that's on creative and a lot of it's on her, because, you know, she controls her performances in the ring. And they almost on Monday had to make a storyline out of her just not being herself lately and blaming it on the storyline with her dad. So hopefully she's got whatever is going on in her head and or physically or mentally in check heading into WrestleMania. Hopefully Ric Flair is going home, and that was the whole point of that of the Charlotte Flair Ric Flair confrontation, which I thought was very good and very well done. But I don't want to see Ric Flair come back with someone else to fight Charlotte at this point. Which is the other way that could go.
The funny thing about that segment they had backstage, so I'm like, if they had done this segment to start this feud, it might have made more sense. You know? Like, it really set the stakes for what was happening more than they ever really did during this quasi feud. And I don't want to say that I'm sorry that it's leaving, because, you know, there are times when I'm like, oh, I understand why they stopped. I feel like we ask the question of why did they stop pushing this person more times than we talk about I understand why they stopped pushing this person. And yeah, we had already talked about it. I'm not quite sure why Lacey Evans was getting her, you know, I don't know what numbered chance it was this time around. You know, like, she hasn't really shown that much improvement. I guess I didn't get the whole thing from the Jump Street, even from that perspective.
Yeah. No, I agree. And if they are going, if they were to continue this and have Flair come back, it would need to be someone appropriate. Peyton Royce would count. Chelsea Green, Vanessa Bourne from NXT. So somebody who would fit with Ric Flair. And they have to make it very clear the relationship is strictly business, because otherwise, ew.
Well, and then that was the one thing that I did think was kind of weird about that backstage segment, is that Rick made it sound like, oh, this is just a business arrangement. And it's just like, you weren't, I guess that was another one of those clarity issues. And I'm like, if you would have said that from Jump Street, it would have maybe helped out the angle a little bit. The fact that everyone got to imply that you were sleeping together was gross from the jump, but it really could have been nipped in the bud instead of waiting until the end of the feud to nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, it's not that hard, guys. It's professional wrestling writing. I don't understand why it becomes this hard. So, yeah, I guess I do feel like we had kind of been leaning towards Sasha and Bianca Belair having a match at WrestleMania, and I guess we'll have to wait for this coming SmackDown for confirmation, but it definitely seems like that's going to end up happening, because they have had a couple of minor run-ins over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, once again, it's the match that should be, but the way they're going about it right now is very, very wrong. They need to get Reginald the hell away from this storyline ASAP.
Yes, I am 100% with you.
I can't stand this guy right now. It was a little intriguing in the beginning with Carmella. But once he started doing his flippity flips, circulation shit, and they actually started putting him in matches, and most importantly, he started talking, I'm over it. I'm done. I want this guy gone.
Yeah, he's just... It's just that he's too involved. Like, you know, he's another one where, like, even if he was still just mostly a sidekick, it would make a lot of sense. But the fact that they're almost making him the focal point of the women's division is bizarre. I think that's more of my problem with him, is, like, his role is way too large for what he's supposed to be.
Oh, absolutely.
So
we did not need him doing promos, and it's like he has to speak in this French or
bougie
French or what is it?
Oh, you don't
say it.
You didn't like bougie, kind of a bougie tone to it.
No. It's a French colony, and it's the island French colony.
I'm blanking on that one.
he just has a bad French accent.
Okay.
I did some checking on it. The guy's from St. Louis. I don't like.
He's
accent.
Not. Oh well. I mean, I guess. Is Saint Martin the French half the French island of the Dominican? Is it the Dominican Republic that's split in half? I'm just butchering geography right now.
I was thinking the Dominican or Haiti. I think those were the ones that were French colonies first, I believe.
Okay.
So the people from there do speak with a little bit of French accents, yes.
Gotcha.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, yeah. Yeah, but just nothing about him works at this point. Once again, as a very, very minor character in Carmella's act, it was fine. But now he is just all over the storyline. It's so unnecessary that there was... I don't feel like there was enough issues between Sasha and Bianca coming out of that tag title match that, you know, they pretty much lost the match clean. Or because of their own stupidity, or Sasha's stupidity, I should say, allowing yourself to get distracted by Reginald. Yeah. There's a lot of potential in Sasha and Bianca as a match. And if they're going to be portrayed as just dumb, that ain't good.
No, it really isn't. They have not started off the hottest with them, but again, they got time to fix this. Maybe they're dicking around because they have this much time. I don't know necessarily. I guess I would have been fine because Bianca hasn't even pretended really. Like, she came to Raw the first week, but I know that because she is SmackDown property, if I'm not mistaken, to start with.
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, it makes sense for her to be there more, but considering that she has, you know, the choice open still, she should at least be lingering a little bit on Raw some in talking to Asuka about the possibility.
Yeah, they've done nothing with the possibility of Sasha going, I mean, not Sasha, Bianca going over to Raw. They've done nothing with that. So the match, it seems, you know, predestined to be Sasha and Bianca from the start, but they're not doing a good job with it. I hope we just get the challenge out of the way on Friday and start moving this in a more serious direction.
Yeah, that would help. And I do believe that she was kind of in the edge boat that she said she'd choose after Elimination Chamber. So I would be pretty surprised if we don't end up seeing that this coming week on SmackDown. I'm trying to think offhand what would be the next biggest story coming out of Elimination Chamber. If there is one, because I mean that was kind of a short night.
Yeah, it was definitely and appreciably so.
Yeah, because I think honestly, like I'm kind of buzzing through it right now. I think we've pretty much covered everything. It is the Elimination Chamber is much like the Royal Rumble in that. The matches that are featured in the pay-per-view, just by their very nature, are long matches.
Yes.
And that means you can't put a whole lot of matches on those cards. And it is kind of weird that back-to-back months, essentially, that they normally do that. So what other fall? Oh, I guess, how can I not, think off the top of my head? I stalled long enough to think of Randy Orton spitting black blood.
Yeah, that was something. that was a play out of the old handbook right there.
Yeah.
That took us back.
It definitely had an old school feel to it. I don't feel like we get that much of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, who knew Alexa Bliss had been trained in the art of voodoo?
Yeah, she was working some real magic from inside of her pentagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's real something right there.
I cannot wait for this Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton match at WrestleMania.
I absolutely need that match. Yes. You know what? This whole thing's been ridiculous from the start. You might as well just keep pouring the gas on it. I mean, you just like Bray Wyatt's rotting corpse. That's apparently going to be reincarnated at some point.
Oh Yeah, Randy Orton has made too much of a point of saying that the Fiend is dead and gone after the burning for it not to be false, honestly.
They're just gonna keep this thing going. Obviously, it's making it all the way to WrestleMania in whatever kind of wacky match they can come up with. Maybe it'll still be a Firefly Funhouse match. Just probably the best case scenario, considering the history of Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt actually trying to have wrestling matches.
Yeah, I think it'd probably turn out better than their last WrestleMania match.
Yeah,
which
and also better than the House of Horrors match, because WWE has at least in the last year WWE finally perfected the cinematic match.
Which one was that? The one with Cena?
Yeah, that was the one with Cena, yes.
Oh, I guess I didn't mind that one. It definitely wasn't as good as Taker. It wasn't as good as the graveyard match for sure-sies. But yeah, the WWE in general has done a better job with the cinematic matches after that. So yeah, I guess it is the worst out of the batch. Never mind. Like, I guess I just kind of talked that one through on mic.
I think Firefly Funhouse is the best case scenario for Orton and Bray Wyatt. You know, this thing has been this thing has been weird from the start. So let's just keep getting weirder. In this case, I am okay with it.
Yep, let's stay weird, people. I guess this to me is weird, and maybe it's something worth at least talking 2 minutes about. Retribution, like, can we just get them off TV? Like, it's infuriating. At this point,
just how much TV time they've wasted on them, during the last summer,
for
this to be the end result, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Mustafa Ali. I'm not going to talk about Monday. Let's talk about Sunday. Let's talk about the kickoff match. There's a fatal four way going on. Ali has three big dudes at ringside with him. The match is no disqualification. And he still loses.
I guess...
They just could have jumped in the ring at any time and beat everybody up. And they just stood there until it was time to beat up Ricochet for some reason.
Oh, I guess I missed this match. And
then came Monday, they lose again, and Ali's finally fed up with them, but they'll probably stay together another 6 months of this.
It's one that I really don't get what you're doing, like you said, like, they have used so much time, and there was a moment of hope when Ali became the leader and it looked like they might have a direction, and that hope faded about 2 weeks after that occurrence, and I don't get it. I don't understand why they get screen time. Like, I like all of those wrestlers individually, at least. I mean, Shane Thorne is pretty nondescript, honestly. But, Dijakovic, I guess I'm not sure about Mace Windu. But or Dio Madden, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Mia Yim. I like Mustafa Ali. Yeah, I don't get it. I guess I just really don't get it. I don't understand why you do that to the people that you employ. Like, I understand that not all of your stories can be great, but it's beyond dumpster fire at this point. This is like Chicago is burning down bad.
Yeah, this is deliberate. I mean, they have to know what they're doing here.
So, yeah, I don't, yeah, it's one that at this point is just a real, it's a real head scratcher. You know, it just seems like way too much wasted time for your product on that. Whew, man, I'm looking through the rest of these matches, and I forgot how many really short matches they had on Raw this past Monday. And none of them with a whole lot of consequence.
Right.
And I don't want to talk about any of them.
Okay.
Unless there is...
There was something that happened on SmackDown that there was no follow-up on the pay-per-view, but it was a pretty big angle. The official heel turn of Apollo Crews on Big E, and an injury angle to boot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And, yeah, I mean, I guess people saw this. The frustration definitely seemed to be building for Apollo Crews. I mean, only time will tell if this is a good thing overall for Apollo Crews.
I think it has to be.
He started to get that push on Raw, and then it got de-throttled again. And then he gets moved back to SmackDown like 6 weeks after he left. And they haven't done much with him, and I guess Big E can lose the championship to him if you move him immediately into the heavyweight, the Universal Championship picture.
Yeah.
And I guess that could happen more that now that we got nearly 2 months until Edge takes on Roman Reigns.
Yeah. It was a good job. I mean, they've planted the seeds for this one for a while. They've had Apollo, interact with Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns, and so he might become affiliated with them on a more official basis, which would be good for him. It's nothing but good for Apollo Crews. And it made sense. I mean, Big E is literally out there just goofing off, eating his Hungry Man dinner. He's got a foot bath. I mean, what else would Apollo Crews feel but completely disrespected at that point?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the visual of Big E. That was fantastic.
Right, but, yeah. I guess that's the thing. Big E's just still too enjoyable for me. I'm like, well, yeah, Apollo Crews is being a dick, but I guess that's his job, is to be a dick. So, I guess I'm just gun shy at this point that the WWE will be behind Apollo Crews in a sustained way. And I hope that they are. Like, just because he feels like he's gotten a couple of pushes and then they've died out, that I don't have my expectations up for this one necessarily, but you do make a good point that a lot of the talking smack points have tended to translate on to SmackDown TV.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will do well. Yeah, was that the last real talking point of the WWE universe this week?
I believe so.
I guess there's one other WWE-related product. We both watched Young Rock this week, and there was something that you were concerned about a little bit, about the story being a little too hodgepodge last week. This episode definitely seemed to, all happened at one time.
Yeah.
So it does seem like I would have to say that they are going to focus the episodes a little bit more moving forward, and that was just kind of a groundwork episode.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
to start the season.
They the groundwork in the pilot for the three eras we're gonna be visiting in and out of. You know, still, you know, it's not a you know, straightforward narrative story, which is fine.
Yeah.
No, I like what they did tonight. It was a pretty good episode. I mean the best part continues to be the real life wrestlers and
and
how they're portrayed and go ahead.
I was just gonna say the stories. You know, the Rock's wrestling stories are a lot of fun.
They really are, yes.
You know, I guess I'm not sure. I haven't really read a lot of biographies. You know, I mean, like, I know that I read Mick Foley's, and I feel like I've read a couple. I read Jericho's first one. I don't think I've read the second one ever. But I guess it's a time. The time period that The Rock is talking about is a time period that I guess I'm not terribly familiar with, since this episode was 87.
Yeah.
And I think he said his dad had retired in 84 in the episode.
Yeah, 84, 85 is when he left.
Yes.
So yeah, this is the downswing of Rocky's career. We're working the independence and what was left of the territories. Yeah.
So you know, I guess it does put it in perspective why I wasn't terribly familiar with him, and we already discussed last week that, you know, he really hasn't shown up in WWE programming as a whole, you know, is a past star. So, you know, I guess it's kind of interesting to hear about this time period, just because, it's all about Hulk Hogan, you know, by the time you get to that 87 time frame. And I feel like you hear a lot of stories about that time frame, but you don't hear a lot of WWE or WWF stories before WrestleMania, I don't feel like.
No, you really don't, no.
So it's kind of an interesting era. Like, it's just, you know, like the WWF / E is about ready to break out right after, you know, Rocky Johnson has his career. So I feel like it's a weird time period, and it's kind of fascinating because a lot of the names that you are familiar with from the Hulk Hogan era are involved in this.
Yeah.
So, enjoyable episode, and though we won't touch on it every week, I did think that was worth bringing up. My bell time beer of the show is one that has been in the closet probably a little too long. It still tasted very good, though. It is Wolf's Ridge Oktoberfest beer. This one will not be available for quite some time. Check in next September in the state of Ohio for this delicious Oktoberfest style beer. And that's it for at DeFrango 11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you can. Go ahead and give us a holler and have a good night.
Later.